Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You assume too much. Couldn't you hear Jesus say that to Pilate that day? So what does assume mean? Well, we're going to look at two meanings of it. Now, I wasn't going to go there, Gene, but... Well, we know that one.
Yeah, I think we all,
especially been in the business world. Assume means jumping to a conclusion without any supporting facts. There's another meaning for it too, to assume a role or a job, to take over. And we're going to look at both of those today. Not only what it meant to Jesus in this time, but what it means to you today. I looked it up, actually in the dictionary, it means to take for granted or without proof. So we're talking emotion, not intellect. Make sense? Well, what happens when we assume? Well, first of all, you got a lot of misunderstandings. Because if you assume something, I mean, let's face it, if you're married, you say one thing, and the spouse hears another. I'm seeing that going on. Why? Because they're assuming, okay? But the other thing is, too, we weren't clear when we spoke the first time, were we? You know, so it's a dual-edged sword. Here's Pilate's quandary from that day. Let me refresh this. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Now I can hear this. Are you assuming that I'm the king of the Jews? Do you hear that question in there? I think it's there. And so Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Here's a good question. What did he do? Nothing. Except preach something that wasn't approved. And here's what I think is important for us. My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. And then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." We know that Jesus is the Son of Man who was delivered to us for our salvation. How do we really know it's true? Well, the Gospels tell us that, right? But yet, those are contemporary accounts of Jesus. Well, we say he is. I mean, look what's going on in our world today. We have a president nobody likes or people love him. Where's the middle ground? You either hate him or love him. Okay? So if... Girl! But part of the thing is this. It seems to be polarized. But yet we're talking about the same man from different viewpoints, aren't we? Okay, isn't that the same thing that was going on in that day? Jesus was looked at from the people who loved him as the Savior. He was looked at as a huge threat from the Jews and the Sanhedrin. All right, so I think it's important to remember that what the Gospels tell us are facts that were conjecture. Now think about this for a second, okay? Is it just an opinion? Yeah, some of you, "Oh, no. But yet I think it's important for us to look at that. One of the blessings, I think, of being Lutheran is the fact that we're taught to question why. Like Peggy always says, "I'm a but why kid." All right, so why? And I think our answer is back in Daniel. Here's Daniel 7, verse 9. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. Do you notice the Ezekiel chariot in there? Okay, now prophecy is starting to jump between books. Okay. So, Ancient of Days is sitting on the throne. Now we know Ancient of Days is in Revelation 2. Okay? Will you behave back there? Can't put the kids anywhere. All right. Now, can we tell who the Ancient of Days is in this section? Well, no. We know Ancient of Days is sitting on the throne, but who is it? Okay. So, let's go to verse 13 that follows this. And 13 was in our reading today. Came one like a son of man. What does Jesus call himself? Son of man. Until the resurrection, then he's son of God. All right. Came one who's like a son of man. The Son of Man who is presented to the Ancient of Days. So who's the Ancient of Days? God the Father. And the Son of Man is presented to him. Now, eight verses later, verse 22, wasn't in our reading today. The Son of Man is given dominion. Now this is 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came the Ancient of Days and was presented to him until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to him for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, who's taken on the head of the Ancient of Days? Who's the judge that comes? So, not only is God the Father the Ancient of Days, Jesus is the Ancient of Days. Now, prophecy tells us that, and I'm sure all of you have seen that in there before, right? Nope, because that had to be pointed out to me too, and I read it. I never picked up on it. Now, here's the thing. In Revelation starts with God being called the Alpha and the Omega. Guess who's called the Alpha and the Omega at the end? Jesus. So, Jesus has the mantle of both the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, and the Judge of all things. That's pretty heavy responsibility, isn't it? All right, but let's look at that second meaning of assume, to take on the responsibilities of. Isn't that what Jesus just did? I think so. All right. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Now here's the thing. I question because of all the contemporary accounts, correct? But yet, prophecy in Daniel, 1,000 years before this, foretold this day, didn't it? Okay, because Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Here's where it gets tough for some of the people to understand, especially the Jews of the time period. They expected the king to come in riding a chariot, bringing his armies, and setting up a kingdom here on earth. Jesus didn't do that. So how can he be the Messiah? He's supposed to be the deliverer. Well, what does it mean to be delivered? See, here comes when we assume meanings. The Jews assumed that he would be an earthly king. But Jesus didn't say that, did he? My kingdom's not of this world. He's a heavenly king. He's an eternal king that we go to later on, not now. But Pilate's trying to understand this, isn't he? See his quandary? So what do I do? I think if I was in Pilate's place, I'd be confused too. So what happens if Pilate agrees with Jesus and lets him go? All right, you're a pilot. You got to make that decision. Probably. Probably be civil war. The Jews would revolt. All right, he'd have to use the Roman army to put it down. And he's procruited. Guess who's going to get the blame? He is. Have any of you ever gotten into a tough spot because you assumed something? See my point?
Yeah.
So what do? We all have. But Pilate had a quandary that day, didn't he? And we just admitted that we have those quandaries too. So how do you get out of that quandary? Well, true. And as a Christian, we know what we're supposed to do, right? Yeah, don't jump to conclusions. But if you do, what does it entail? Well, true. Asking for forgiveness. You know, Bob, I'm sorry I treated you badly. I didn't mean to. I assume, will you forgive me? Absolutely not. No, that's... Okay, but you see, as a Christian and as a human being, do we make mistakes? Are we sinners? Do they go hand in hand? Yes. But yet we know as sinners, what do we have to do? Ask for forgiveness. What happens if it's not given?
We ask again.
Those who listen to me know the truth. You see how all this works together in our readings today? Now, today is something special. It's Christ the King Sunday. And Jesus is our King. And I have to apologize to Dean because Dean told me that he was going to sing Majesty on Christ the King Sunday. And if you notice on the offertory, it's got me listed. It's because I wasn't thinking of it last night when I finished up the bulletin. It's okay. But he's going to sing Majesty today, which is good because I get to sit down and listen. And I like that one too. Well, could Pilate have stood up to the Sanhedrin? Sure he could have. And they may or may not have forced an uprising, but I think they would have. Now, here's the thing that I think about, and this is part of that quandary. Jesus had to be arrested, didn't he? Think about Judas for a second. Judas had to turn him over to the authorities. So, was Judas wrong, or was Judas acting according to God's will? What he was supposed to be. But you see, there's questions like that that I think about. Because without that, God's will couldn't be done. In fact, there's a Gospel of Judas that came out in the first century, after the one in the 100 to 200s, that talked about that very thing. Didn't make the final cut of the Bible. It's an interesting book to read because it deals with the same question I'm posing to you today. Is it scripture? No. Does it make you think? Yes. That's what's important. So if we negatively assume something, forgiveness is important. But now here's the thing about forgiveness I think is really important. If you ask for forgiveness, it's not given. Who has to do the forgiving? You. Thank you, Shirley. You have to be able to forgive yourself. All you can do is go to the person and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? If they say, yeah, you're forgiven, you know, what can I do to make amends? If they say, absolutely not, I'm sorry you feel that way, at least I'm trying to make up to you. But then you have to let it go, let yourself go. I have trouble with that. I think we all do at times. But that's part of the thing of being a Christian, isn't it? Is forgiveness. And forgiveness starts with yourself. Love other people as yourself. I mean, it comes back to the very simple things, but those are the hardest, aren't they? Sometimes you are the one that has to take the fall. You have to abase yourself. What does that mean? Well, those are the type of guys that get down on the ground. Help me, I'm so bad. You know, that's abasing, okay? But you have to go to somebody like that with that kind of, I think, asking for forgiveness in your heart. Make sense? There's no prophecy to save us like Pilate was saved. All we can do is look at the advent of Jesus. Now, why I've used Advent in our prayer today, and I'm talking about the advent of Jesus now. Why am I doing that? Because next week starts the season of Advent for 4 weeks. Advent is like Lent. It's a time of reflection. It's not a happy time. You know, last year, you know, I was said, why don't we sing Christmas carols all through here? Well, because it's Advent. Doesn't mean we're not going to sing them. We'll do it after the service, not during the service. Make sense? But part of the thing with Advent, it's a chance for you to look at yourself and assess yourself. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Well, there's a hard question, isn't it? Because we're celebrating two comings. Jesus as a child. Jesus as the procreator. In other words, the judge of all things. Not procreator. Pan. You know, it's one of those things, folks, when we look at Jesus, we look at that responsibility as the Alpha and Omega, the last, and we're coming into the last days. Remember, the last 2 weeks have been celebrating that, and then we have that time of reflection coming up. The end times, when Jesus is coming as the judge of all. If today was the end times and Jesus walked through that door, are you ready for it? Hopefully. But the thing is, if you ask for forgiveness, because remember, that's freely given, but you got to approach it. Makes you think, doesn't it? Made me think. Well, if you're a Christian and you acted with love and not hatred in your heart, you think he's going to be happy with you? Yes, I do too. Now, what I would like to do is go and look at what Jude tells us will happen if we do this. And part of the thing is, what threw Gene, I think, is that doxology. What does doxology mean? Anybody know? You're right on it. Give glory to God. You know, we sing a doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But doxology just means to give glory, give praise, whatever. Here's what Jude tells us, and he's brother, half-brother of Jesus. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Think about that for a second. And to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now and forever. Amen. This is most certainly true. Let us pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, our judge and our friend, send your Spirit to assist us to do what is correct in your sight and to help us not jump to conclusions. Lord, we humbly ask this of you. Be with us and lead us, and in your name we pray. Amen.